السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا. After Allah Tabarakala makes mention of the people of the cave and how wonderful their stay was in the cave, then a few principles is mentioned. Practicing on these principles can allow a person himself to be from the people of the cave. And that happiness and aid that they received from Almighty Allah then can come on this individual. It starts off very slowly, like how you're climbing up steps. The beginning part is very easy, like how when a child is learning how to walk. The first few steps is much easier than the steps later on. But it's the first few steps that create the muscle in the leg. When the leg gets the muscle, it can make a bigger step. Similarly, we start at the bottom, but very fast we try to reach to the top. When the person reaches to the top, before he starts, he will find himself in an environment. And this is what is known as coming into a cave. You only come into the cave when the environment around is not conducive. The environment makes people feel shy of their deen. There was a time when Islam had a khilafat, a sultanate. During that time, no one was shy of Islam. Rather, non-Muslims would come into the Muslim lands and they would feel shy of their having no faith. But when the Khilafat collapsed and a system was established which made people feel that Islam has kept you back, and they forgot that they had a history where it started off with a group of Arabs who were known as Abidu Abid, the slave of slaves. No one wanted to rule over them. And they forgot that every other nation, amongst them, the men were only killing each other and the women were treated as the worst. There was a time in the European world that women were not even regarded as human. A certain time came where after so many cases, they finally agreed, okay, from now on, we will regard a woman to be from the human class. That sentence of theirs was before this, they were nothing but animal. They were just to be used for their own needs. What way they speak about women's rights? This very nation who's behind, or the very lobby that's behind today women's rights, was the very lobby, shaitani lobby, that had once created the role of women to be the slaves or the animals of men. The only word changed. They call it, you change the terminology, you change the word, but the reality is the same. On that time, the women were slaves to the desires of men and they were called slaves. And in today's time, women are still slaves to the desires of men. The only thing they call them, you are a free woman. That time she was a prostitute who was not paid. Today she's a prostitute who's being paid. What things they make that woman do in the movie industry, the wind would have never ever imagined. You'd say to that husband of that woman, do you have no feeling? Even if you got no Islam, your wife is with somebody else and the whole world is viewing it and you are sitting happy at home. They created such a dirty environment. In that environment, Muslims started growing because they took over the seats of the government and they created an understanding that Islam has kept you behind. That's why we're winning in the wars. That's why we're pushing in the education system. That's why, according to them, it was a lie. But at that time, they made the world believe we reached the moon also. Everyone is amazed how far you have gone. The question was asked, what have they done? In the Ottoman Empire, as it was going in its decline, the Sultan even had people to go to Germany, had people to go to France, to find out how come they are advancing so much and we are unable to. It was at that time that Allah had created a fitan. It was a trial. But the thought that Islam had brought us just previously to where we were has made us independent of ever having to go to them to learn. that was forgotten and people entered those lands. And when they came back, many of the sentences were that we have found a life where night, life starts at night. There is the clubs, there is the music, there is the woman. They were not sent in there to see that. But they understood if we can create that environment, then it will open the doors for progress. People became shy of their own deen. Wearing burqa became an ar, an aib. Young boys who had gone to school were told, if you want to be progressive, your mother must dress European. Your father must dress European. At that time in the Islamic world, in the lands of Turkey, if a woman was wearing burqa and walking in the streets, she had seen her grandmother and her entire generation wearing burqa. But now if she wore burqa, a young boy would run up to her and he would pull at her burqa. What once upon a time you would have thought a non-Muslim would do to a Muslim. At that time a young Muslim child would pull at the burqa and he would say, what is this here? We don't want this in our country. It became very hard. There was a mass assassination of ulama. The only leaders now that were found in front of people were people who said, leaders who said, which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, يُقْبَضُ الْعِلْمِ, knowledge will be taken away. Sahaba radiallahu anhum asked how. He said, Allah بِقَبْضِ الْعُلَمَا, that the ulama in a huge number will just disappear from the lands. It happened after the Khilafat fell. Thousands and thousands of ulama were assassinated. He said, when the people will not find now any guide, اتخذ الناس جحالا, then the people will take their leaders, people who are ignorant, people who had never studied true deen. They will just have a little bit strength of the tongue. They will say one, two Arabic words. فَضَلُّوا وَأَضَلُّوا, themselves they will be far off the way and they will lead everyone away. That era was created. During that era, how shy people felt of the Islam. Now we're going to try to get five things in our life. With these five things, we want to reach to a level where it ends off, وَقُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. قُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ means, now say loudly, the truth has come from my Allah. الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ, meaning now there's no need to be shy anymore. Now you will be a da'i, you will be a caller, you must not be mad'u, called by the other. You must not be shy of your faith. You must walk, and we are living in that revolution now. Now go into the lands of Turkey, where once upon a time the boy was pulling out the cloak from the woman. Now the entire Turkey, part of the constitution, a woman who wants to wear a scarf, she will not be discriminated anywhere in the country. How the rest of the world is going the opposite. A person who wants to be dirty and filthy, they say, don't harm him. But a woman who wants to be clean, a woman who wants to be clean, she wants to go out into the walk and she wants to cover her body. She wants to cover herself nicely. That person comes and says, we will not allow. You will not be allowed entry into this place. You'll have to show your hair. You will not be allowed onto the beaches. You will have to show your body. What freedom was that? Now in that land, in the land where Mustafa Kemal thought that the parda will never ever come back into the land, Quran will never come back. Visit Turkey today. You will see revolution. You will see the woman now having scarves. Forget the woman at home. Forget the woman in the madrasa. We entered in the month of Ramadan. We were coming to the place in the airport which is the hardest. It's called the security check, where you're going to put your bags. Normally at a security check, no one smiles. Everyone is like that hard person. Everyone that you could be a threat, you could be a threat. We came there. A group of people came. There were men and women. The woman, every one of them had a scarf on. For us, it was like, I looked around, then I saw in the airport, everyone got scarves. But what the man came and said, he said that if you all are not late for your flight, then can you allow us the chance that if you just wait there, and we will open this year in 15 minutes, because we just want to break our fast and we want to perform our Maghrib Salah. In an airport, who would have ever thought? Government officers are known to be far the furthest from deen. This was not a masjid. That entire security area was closed. We were sitting on the other side breaking our roza. They were breaking their fast. They performed their salah. They came in. At that time, I said, the revolution has started. وَقُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. You will bring five things in your life. You will never have to be shy of your Islam. You will walk outside then. The man will have an imamah. He will have a jubba. He will be happy about it. The woman will have burqa. She will have niqab. She will be happy. But to start this ladder to climb that I'm not shy about my Islam, Allah Tabarak Ta'ala mentions principles. وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَائِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ. Principle number one, there should never be any action you're going to do and you say, I will do this tomorrow. There must be never any action you will do and you will say, I will do this tomorrow. Almighty Allah says, don't let it be on your tongue, that sentence, I. Rather say, أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ. That if Allah allows, this work will happen. You might say, what's the difference between I and Allah? There's the difference between humanism and worshipping one Allah. I means I am the boss. I am the Lord. I am the one in charge. And Allah means I am the slave and He is the one who does. It is this one sentence. We call it the small words of Insha'Allah for the future. Masha'Allah from the past. La quwwata illa billah. No power from my side. Power only from Allah's side. Allahu Akbar when climbing the ladder. Subhanallah when coming down. It is so small words. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, light on the tongue. Khafifatan ala lisan. So light on the tongue. Thaqilatan fil mizan. How heavy on the scales. Another time he said, tamla'ul mizan. It fills up the scales. Two sentences you will say. He says the scales are filled. Sometimes he said, تَمْلَأُ مَا بَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. You don't know what the scale is. You have never seen a scale. He said, forget the scale. The area between the sky and the earth, east to the west, north to the south, sky to the earth, that entire area, you know how big it is. He said, this one, subhanallah, walhamdulillah, will fill up that entire area for you. So much of power in this. Sometimes he said, the entire world gets their sustenance through the dhikr of subhanallah walhamdulillah. It is very light words. But it is the difference between a mind and a tongue that is atheist and a mind and a tongue that sees Almighty Allah. We were going to enter into an environment. We would have said so easy the words. What's the big deal about it? The environment was going to be such that everything would be moving with speed. So fast and so accurate in so much of tartib. That the need to say insha'Allah would be pulled out of the tongue. A child will no longer hear his father saying insha'Allah. If it was an environment of fear, an environment of insecurity, when a person leaves his house, immediately you will say make dua. The other one will say in the protection of Allah. Hafizakumullah, may Allah look after you. They will say Allah be with him. As he goes, he will say insha'Allah, when I reach, I'll phone you. As soon as he reaches, they will say, MashaAllah, Allah brought you home safely. They will say, SubhanAllah. They will say, Allahu Akbar. The world changed. Everything started being brought into tartib, sequence. Accurate. I entered my car. The car immediately says, where do you want to go? Destination. I typed it in. It told me, this is the route. This is the places where you're going to get stuck. You are going to be reaching at this time. It happened the first time. It's called the system of cause an effect. In the fitan of the time, it was going to be said that we will create a system where the cause will result in the effect so many times that every individual will start believing that it is the cause that causes the effect. Whereas the eye of iman, even if 100 times it will see a cause resulting in an effect, it will say it is the cause, then the permission of Allah, and then the result. This is the difference between insha'Allah and no insha'Allah. We sit in that car. Even if that car says reaching at this time, if the car can't say insha'Allah, that car is not going to Jannah. I need to go to Jannah. So when that car says reaching at this time, loudly I will say insha'Allah. When it says you have reached your destination, it stops there. I will say, Alhamdulillah. I will say, MashaAllah. Something wonderful comes in front of me. The world will say, your earnings have brought this year. You will say, you know how much I paid for it. You say, you know how hard I worked for it. With the tongue of Iman, things will change. The cow will come in front. You will look up to the heavens and say, Masha Allah. This is only your happiness, your kindness, Allah. La quwwata illa billah. No power from my side. Allah tabarak ta'ala says, the man had two gardens. He told his friend, come and see my wealth. You and me were together when we were young. You haven't become so rich. Let me show you how I made it. Walawla idh dakhalta jannataka. His friend entered with him. He had two wonderful gardens. We will say two empires, two enterprises, two businesses. Wakana lahu thamar. He had a lot of money coming from somewhere else. His friend said to him, nothing wrong with your empires of wealth. Lawla idh dakhalta. Why can't it be when you enter into your business, when you entered in your garden, instead of saying, this is what I did. He said, why could you not have said, Masha Allah, la quwwata illa billah. So small the word is. So small. In Surah Kahf, Almighty Allah defines this. It is the barrier between Iman and Shirk. That individual was not ready to say Allah. He said, me. Almighty Allah said, was that not Shirk also? He did not make Shirk of the idol. He made himself. In today's time, they call it humanism. That the human body is the most important. The tongue of Iman will say, no, my Allah is the most. Principle number one, the small phrases, Insha'Allah, Masha'Allah, La quwwata illa, must come back in our lives. Principle number two, it was known that the environment will be conducive to forgetting. People will say, I'll do it. And after 5 days, people will not be doing it. Allah tabarak ta'ala then says, Wathkur rabbaka idha nasita. If you find yourself forgetting to say the word Allah, if you find your heart is forgetting, then no problem, now start a cause. Wathkur rabbaka idha nasita. Mufassirin write, Wathkur rabbaka bit tasbihi wal istighfar. If you forget to attribute things to Almighty Allah when you're in the field, then before you go in the field, make the dhikr of Allah. We call it a prescribed cause of the dhikr of Allah. A person at home is told, he's told to sit at home before going into the battlefield, before going into the field of the world of entertainment. At that time, now there's nothing around you. You have read your fajr, you came home. Or you read your fajr, you're in the masjid. At that time, make the dhikr of Allah a few times, which will remind the heart that when there's nothing in front of me that is entertaining and attracting, I will remind my heart so many times, it is Allah, it is Allah, it is Allah. That when I will now go out and the world will show me not Allah, my heart will say, no, it is Allah. It is called a prescribed cause in the dhikr of Allah. Mashayikh give prescribed causes. In the work of tabligh, they give prescribed causes. If you have no prescribed cause, you can take 100 times, La ilaha illallah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, who will recite 100 times, La ilaha illallah daily? On the day of Qiyamah, his face will be shining like the full moon. Ulama mentioned that La ilaha illallah reciting, what about salah, what about zakat, what about hajj? You need to get your face shining like a full moon. You need everything. Just by reading La ilaha illallah, how can the work get done? Amazing how they explained. They said, have you ever seen the full moon? It starts when there's no moon. It is dark. Then you will see one line. They said, when you will start the dhikr of Allah, light will enter into your heart, like one line. As you will continue, as the day passes, the time passes, that line becomes bigger, bigger, bigger. As it starts becoming bigger, more amal will come in your life, more deen will come in your life. If you're only reading La ilaha illallah 100 times, but a day will come when the entire Islam will come into your life. And you will get the full moon. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Man ajiza minkum an min al-layli ay yuqabida." That individual who finds it very hard to stand up in night and worship Almighty Allah, that's all of us. When the time comes to sleep, we say, I'm very tired. When the time comes to play on the phone, we say, I'm not tired at all. When the time comes to wake up for fajr, we say, very hard. And if someone says tahajjud, you'll say, that's for my grandmother. He said, whoever finds himself too weak at night to fight the night, meaning to stand in the worship of Allah. وَجَبُنَ بِالْمَالِ أَيْ يُنْفِقَ. And then he finds himself too stingy to spend his wealth. Wealth has gripped him. وَبَخِلَ بِالْمَالِ أَن يُنْفِقَ وَجَبُنَ عَنِ الْعَدُوِ أَن يُجَاهِدَ. He finds himself too cowardly to be able to confront the enemy. Nafs is his enemy, his inside desire. Shaitan is his enemy, environment is his enemy. But every time when someone says, stand up to the environment, he says, I can't. He says, he's too cowardly, he's too miserly, he's too lazy. فَلْيُكْثِرْ ذِكْرَ اللَّهِ. Let him engage in the dhikr of Allah and everything will get sorted out. Let him engage in the dhikr of Allah. Principle number one, those small phrases which once upon a time we used to have on our tongue must come back. Number two, if the environment is causing us to forget, وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ إِذَا نَسِيتَ. If you are forgetting, if I am forgetting, then start a cause of the dhikr of Almighty Allah. Every day, let's make some dhikr. You would have heard La ilaha illallah 100 times, Astaghfirullah 100 times. You can have Subhanallah, Walhamdulillah 100 times. Any dhikr, there are so many. From the many, take one. And every day, repeat the name of Allah so many times when no one is in front of you, so that when the world is in front of you, your heart remembers, my connection is only with the Zat of Allah. Principle number three. وَلَبِثُوا فِي كَهْفِهِمْ 300 سِنِينَ وَازْدَادُوا تِسْعَ قُلِ اللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا لَبِثُوا. Allah Tabarak Ta'ala now makes indication to the boys of the cave. Almighty Allah says they remained in the cave for more than 300 years. 309 years. Say to the people, Allahu A'lam bima labithu. How did they remain during that time? He says, only Allah knows. During 309 years, there was not one bedsore that came on their body. They were moved from side to side. They were made to seem that they are wide awake. A dog was made to be at the front, that if any animal had to come, it would see a wild dog, it would go. An environment was put around them, which would create fear in anyone entering. The sun, the greatest of Allah's qudrats that we see, the sun was told, when you will rise, you must cut at the cave at an angle so that they get enough sunlight, how much they need, how much of heat. When the sun was setting, it was told, cut at an angle. Allah Tabarak Ta'ala says, we put the whole world in their service. They were fast asleep. So I want you to think about this. Think about it, ulama have mentioned. The command is that think about again and again. When people gave themselves into the khidmat of Allah, Almighty Allah saw to their every need. When these were people of a previous nation, they were not of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If a person was finding himself too scared, that what if I try to be different? Will I manage? Almighty Allah says, you just need to think about this. How did they manage for 309 years sleeping? Me and you are wide awake, and we only got 60 to 90 years. They were not of the ummah. We are of the ummah. We are the best of nations. When Allah Tabarakallah's special help came to them, not a single bedsore came on their bodies, despite them sleeping for 309 years. Me and you, why are we scared? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Almighty Allah has mentioned, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي. I behave with my servant how he thinks of me. If our understanding of Allah is he's not going to help, you're not going to see any help. But if the individual feels brave and he says, I trust my Allah, look around us in the world, those who put their trust in Allah, poverty never came to them. Depression never came to them. Problems never came to them. Rather, what they will say today, you will say it was on this occasion that my entire life changed. You'll say, the ijtima came. I decided to go out in the path of Allah. I said, I have to make a change in my life. Today he is smiling from side to side. And another person is deep in depression. He says, I was drowned in the thoughts of wealth, luxury, everything I need to be the best. I was living a life of misery. My life changed. I realized that this is not what I want. Those boys in the cave never have anything smart around them. They did not have anything glamorous around them. They had one Allah. And with that one Allah, they needed nothing else. Said, I tried it also. And I found in my life, qana'at has entered. Now I am satisfied. I myself am smiling. I am making other people smile. It's a world of deception where you look at the things around you and you say, that will bring me satisfaction. Almighty Allah said, no. هُوَ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ السَّكِينَةَ. Satisfaction comes directly from the heavens onto the hearts of the believers. Nothing brings it. Allah Ta'ala says, ponder. Principle number three, ulama have written, in our lives, there must be ta'aleem of the biography of some great person of Islam. You want to make ta'aleem of Hikayatul Sahaba. You want to make ta'aleem of Hayatul Sahaba. You want to read at night the kitab of any great person, a great scholar of England, a great scholar of South Africa, a great scholar of India, a great scholar of Arabia, any great scholar. You want to read Futuh al-Sham, Conquest of Sahaba. You must read it. Ta'aleem must take place with your child. It is in the insurance of the men of Allah that such a mercy of Allah descends on the heart that it gives the individual courage. You feel a different feeling. That child is not told, you must do this, you must do that. The child is hearing somebody else who did it. And he sees, what an amazing man. And naturally the child then gets the courage, I also want to follow in that way. We might think not so important, but think, why did the world then create every book your child must read? It must be a cartoon of some character. It must be a novel of some character. And in a few years' time, whenever your child thinks, whenever he thinks, whenever he admires, he admiring that same character. What made him start making that person his star is because he grew up hearing about how he flew over the buildings, how he fought the villains, how he came and how he spoke. As the child looks at it, he says, this is my man. That child who every night hears his father reading something of the pious people. That child, as he goes forward, whenever he has to think, he will think in the light of those people. When he'll have to make someone his model, he will make pious people his model. You take away ta'aleem of the biography of the pious, and then you expect your child or yourself to be pious, it's very difficult. Principle number three, the biography of some pious person, the biography of Sheikh Zakaria Rahimullah, the biography of the Akabir of Tabligh, the biography of the Akabir of the Tasawwuf, the biography of the Muhaddiseen of the era, anyone, and the books of libraries of Islam are filled. Nowadays a person can just download, finish one book, go on to another book, go on to another book. No one will be telling you what to do. Naturally, as you read it, you say, I also want to be like this here. Principle number three, biography. Number one, those simple sentences, inshaAllah, mashaAllah. Number two, a prescribed cause in the dhikr of Almighty Allah. Number three, the biography of the people of piety. Number four, وَاتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ كِتَابِ رَبِّكَ. Almighty Allah says, that which has been revealed to you from your Allah, start making tilawat of that. Meaning our relationship with Quran, not only for the hafiz in Ramadan. Every one of us, not only in the month of Ramadan, in Ramadan and out of Ramadan. Tilawat of Quran, tala yatlu tilawatan, means to follow. We follow the wording by listening or by reading. I'm listening to someone read Quran, I'm following. I'm reading myself, I'm making my own tilawat. And we follow the meaning by pondering and practicing. Follow the wording and follow the meaning. The shaitani system of the world has come to attack the heart, which is called the king of the entire body. For it to enter the heart, it cannot go direct. So it needs to go to the ears. They created an environment of the media, an environment of music, an environment of propaganda. It needs to go through the eye, so you know what and what has been created. Dirty things, evil things, entertaining things, attractive things. The eye is seeing it all. They can go through the tongue. They took over the entire food industry. Whatever they are pumping, halal and haram, as long as it tastes nice, the person says, I want it. You say, look at those ingredients. I look at it, doesn't sound dangerous. Some very hard words. Yeah, I don't know what this means, this means, this means, this means. Inshallah, it's halal. And in this manner, so much of doubtful thing was put through the tongue of people. It was put in the eyes of people. It was put in the ear of person. And these three now were going to go towards the brain. It would interfere with the brain system. It would trouble the brain. From the brain, it then seeps into the heart. So much of effort. was to come to the heart. For this heart now, to get the other story, Allah Tabarak Ta'ala's speech, Quran, is called the king of all speech. It is the king of all speech, and this is the king of the body. When a king speaks to a king, everybody else moves on the sides. When Quran speaks to the heart, Quran doesn't need the tongue. It doesn't need the ear. It doesn't need the eye. It doesn't need the mind. But Quran, in its honor, it allows the hand the opportunity to hold it. It allows the eye the opportunity to see it. It allows the tongue the opportunity to read it. It allows the ear the opportunity to listen. It allows the mind the opportunity to think. But it's independent of all the senses. The Quran directly speaks to the heart. Everything else just enjoys the word of Allah. And as a king speaks to a king, if you will make tilawat of Quran, when a king hears another king speaking, everything else is pushed out. Everything else gets pushed out. What the eye had just seen yesterday is forgotten. What the ear had heard is forgotten. What the tongue had tasted is forgotten. If you want to purify your hearts from the filth of the environment me and you are living in, recite Quran so much, so much, so much, that as in the computer you have something called, I have an antivirus, and I update my antivirus. Whatever virus is being made in the world, I got something that wipes it out immediately. Me and you in our body, we need an antivirus. As the virus comes, my tilawat wiped it. Virus came, my tilawat wiped it. I am pure, and my tilawat must take me to become even further and further. It will take man very high. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Hablullah fil ard. This is the rope of Almighty Allah in this land. Whoever will hold on to it will reach his destination. If we stop making tilawat, then the antivirus has gone off. It's called expired. If I say I will update it next Ramadan, then you must know from this Ramadan to next Ramadan, so many viruses are going to enter our heart that perhaps by next Ramadan, our computer might collapse also. If we want life in our iman, tilawat of Quran has to be an ongoing thing. How much of Quran we must read? Read. There must not be a day that goes without our reading. I don't have to be the greatest qari in the world. I don't have to be the most fluent. I'll make an effort to get it better. But a day must not pass except that I make some tilawat of Quran. I start from Surah Al-Fatiha, Surah Al-Baqarah, and I continue moving slowly. I'm making a journey. I have to reach the ending. When I reach the ending, I will start again, and I continue my journey. This is the principle of hold on to the Quran. And then comes the final principle, number 5. وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاةِ وَالْعَشِي يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَ وَلَا تَعْدُ عَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ. Almighty Allah says, keep yourselves in the company of people who you find connected to Almighty Allah. Keep yourselves in the company. Let your eyes not drift away from them. There was an indication by saying the word wasbir sabr, that in time will come. Once upon a time, people only sat in the company of pious people. There was nowhere else to go. There was an indication a time will come where people will find the company of the pious boring. They will find it hard. Allah Tabarak Ta'ala said, then just make sabr. Make sabr, be patient, but just stay there. Let your eye not go away from them. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yakhruj, if Dajjal has to come out, wa ana hayyun, I am alive in that time. Yakfikuhumullah bi. Allah will suffice all of you through me. I will stand in your defense. Wa yakhruj ba'da an amuta. And if Dajjal is to come out after my passing away, yakfikuhumullah bis-salihin, then Allah will suffice you with the pious. Find a pious friend. Ar-rajul ala dini khalili. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a man will take the religion, the faith of his friend. Falyanzur ahadukum may yukhalil. He says, think properly who you are making your friend. The company of the pious. And the opposite, Almighty Allah said, وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا. There will be certain people in the world who we have turned their hearts away from our remembrance. وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَى. That individual only follows his desire. وَكَانَ أَمْرُهُ فُرُطًا. His entire matter is out of limits. The way he spends is out of limits. The way he earns is beyond the mind. The way he lives in luxury, the way he wastes, the way he loves, everything you read of him, it's beyond limits. But a time was going to come that the man who lives beyond limits, thousands and thousands of people would be his followers. They will wonder what he's eating, where he's living, with which yachts he's moving, which cars he's buying, how many cars he got in his garage, how many animals he got in his yard, how many women he got moving around his house. Allah Ta'ala says that individual who you will find in his every matter is out, is beyond limits, and he's only following his nafs. He says, do not you be the follower of that man. There was an indication the time will come where the company of the pious will be found boring. And to have relationship with people who have nothing to do with Allah will be the in thing. Today, with what we call the followers on WhatsApp and Facebook and follow me, it has gone beyond limits. This ayat was to show me and you have one person who say, I follow. It is the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and those who are walking on that path. Everyone else, I'm not bothered what car he drives. I'm not bothered what clothing he's wearing. I'm not bothered how many cars, what cars, how many mansions, how many yachts. Because my Allah said, that's not the one for you. This is the one for you. May Allah tabarak ta'ala through these five principles. When these five will come, the next verse is, وَقُلِ الْحَقُّ. Now you stand up and you say, the truth has come from my Allah. فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ. Who wants to believe? The thing is open, believe. And if you don't want to believe, oh my friends, then I'm warning you that Allah has prepared Jahannam for the one who doesn't want to. Me, I am not shy of my faith. I will loudly say, الْحَقُّ. The truth has come from my Allah. But we need these five things. Simple sentences on the tongue, masha'Allah, insha'Allah. A prescribed cause in the dhikr of Almighty Allah. Reading the biography of the pious. Tilawat of Quran. And then to see who our company is. May Allah tabarak ta'ala inspire us all. And Allah tabarak ta'ala in His kindness make us all from the people of the cave. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.